Welcome to the Kitchen Table Finance Podcast, where we make retirement planning easy and enjoyable. Discover practical advice to create a retirement strategy that fits your lifestyle and budget. Get ready for market updates, intriguing finance headlines, book reviews, special guests, and inspiring case studies. So grab your favorite cup of coffee and join us at the table as we talk about everything finance and retirement. We're here to support you in achieving the retirement of your dreams. Let's jump right in.
Hey, Dave, how you doing today?
Oh, Nick, all I can say is thank God it's Friday.
It is Friday. The sun is shining. It's not quite the temperature it was on my vacation, but the sun is shining, so I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it. The snow stopped a little bit ago, so.
Well, that's always a positive.
We'll take it. All right.
Today's topic, Dave, we are going to dive right in, and this is one that, you know, we get the question quite often, but we don't necessarily, I'm trying to think of a nice positive way to say this, but we get the question often. We don't deal with it a lot because we kind of have a stance on it that we'll kind of talk about, but that is like in retirement, do I need an annuity? What does it mean? What does it do for me? And, you know, do I need one of these things, so to speak, to ensure my portfolio in retirement?
Yes. And it's a super polarizing topic. You and I both have strong opinions that were hard won over, you know, a couple of decades of dealing with them. But I think you and I both can admit that our biases have more to do with the way we see annuities being sold and used improperly than with the products, with the category of products themselves.
Right.
And I think there's some important distinctions there that annuity with a small a, the concept of an annuity isn't in and of itself good or bad.
Right.
Absolutely. Annuities with a capital A, the way they are used and packaged, can be a problem. There are good and bad amongst them, but that's where we run into problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'll never like go on the record as saying like there are reasons and very good reasons why somebody may utilize one of these products, so to speak. But unfortunately, they were packaged and sold in a way that I do not agree with. And it makes me cringe when somebody says to me, do I, you know, I have this retirement annuity. It makes my skin crawl a little bit.
Because our heads immediately go to all of the lousy stuff we've seen over the years.
Right.
And very rarely have I seen them used in a way that I would feel good about if I was the advisor that had recommended them.
Right. Absolutely. Now that we got that clarification out of the way, Dave, what exactly is an annuity and, you know, what are the uses for it, especially related to retirement?
So the easiest way to think of the concept of an annuity is that what they're meant to provide guaranteed lifetime income. Sometimes you see them referred to as old age insurance or longevity insurance because they are an instrument you can put in place where it can provide you a pension-like income no matter how long you live. You're trading certainty for uncertainty, right?
Yep.
And that can be a very good thing depending on your situation, but it always comes at a cost, right? Nothing's free.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, the basic premises of an annuity when it was originally created is, you know, somewhat brilliant in that, you know, just on the insurance chassis of like, hey, we've got a group of people, they're all the same age. And we know like through our actuarial science, some of them are going to live until 120. Some of them are going to die in 3 days. We don't know which ones they are, but we can tell you with pretty good certainty along the way, like, how many people will die at what stage?
Right. That's a great point. In a lot of respects, an annuity is like a backwards life insurance policy.
Right.
You're going to provide an insurance company a lump sum up front. Mm-hmm. They're going to guarantee that from that lump sum, they can pay you a certain amount no matter how long you live, because they know that some people that they make that promise to will live longer, some will live shorter. It will work out statistically for them where they can provide you that insurance
So they, you know, the benefit of that then as the end user is, right, like I don't have to worry about what the market does. I don't have to worry about investments because the insurance company is basically taking that money and doing those things for you. And you don't have to worry about, you know, outliving your money because you can't, because they know that some people won't live very long and they'll have extra money from that to pay out the people that do live longer.
Portfolio insurance, longevity insurance, that's the pure form of an annuity with a small A. Think of it as creating your own pension, more or less.
Right, exactly. How do people get in trouble with these, Dave?
Well, most annuities that we see out there in terms of contracts that people have purchased, they're not actually using them for creating a pension, for creating those guaranteed payments.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like there's two aspects of an annuity, and I think this is where it gets confusing, right? Like one is, hey, I'm in payout. So like the insurance company is sending me a check and like everything, I gave them $100,000, they're sending me a check every month and this is a contract that's set for the rest of my life, right? Like that's the payout phase of the annuity.
Yes.
The other side is where it gets tricky and where we see a lot of the abuse is like before you take the payout, there's some guaranteed returns, there's some guarantees that your payout amount's going to go up if you don't actually start taking the payout. And so that's the deferred status of like, hey, at some point in time, I'm going to turn the insurance portion of this on. The interesting part that I always saw is that there's a lot more people in the at some point in time, but a lot of them don't even ever plan on turning it on, right?
Like, right. And that's not the way the annuity was positioned when they purchased it. It was positioned as a way to invest money with limited downside.
Exactly.
So what we find, so if you think of annuities in those two pieces, there's the annuitization or distribution phase, and then there's the accumulation phase. And inside that accumulation phase, that's where all the different varieties of annuities and different types are divided. In the distribution phase, if they're truly annuitized, where they're turning it into a true lifetime income, they're all pretty much similar in that regard.
Right.
How do we want to talk about the accumulation phase? I guess kind of like whole life insurance, variable life insurance, universal life insurance. They're not, the annuities in accumulation phase just are generally not very efficient investments. Generally, there are high expenses or capped upside in those contracts. And again, there's all different flavors. Variable annuities tend to look like a package of mutual funds. But when we look at those mutual funds, usually they are much more expensive than what you could purchase in a regular portfolio, you know, with limited options and just not particularly, I like the word efficient in this case. You might think you're invested in the S&P 500, but there's a lot of better ways to invest in the S&P 500 usually. If it's an indexed annuity, those are contracts rather than, you know, individual funds, where you get to participate in the upside of the market without the downside. But what you find there is that they've put caps on how much you can actually make, which it seems to be, I think part of my problem with these is that when I talk to people that have purchased them, they think that if the market goes up 10%, they're going to make 10%. If the market goes up 15%, they're going to make 15%.
Right.
And when you look at the actual contract, it's something like, you get half of the market appreciation up to a certain percentage, and it's much, much lower. And this makes sense, right? How can the insurance company promise you can have no downside in the market and all of this upside without some limits to it, right? Because they're taking your money and they're investing it. They're taking the risk. So they can't promise you 25%, 30% upside with no downside, because they're going to be on the hook when that doesn't work out. So they have to put limits on it in order to give you those guarantees. And so I guess the bottom line is there, you can't separate out the cost from the benefit. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Insurance, I don't know any insurance that's free.
And it shouldn't.
Right? No, there's always a cost to it.
They're not nonprofits.
Most insurance companies are very profitable. And so that's not to say that you shouldn't ever have insurance or shouldn't ever have an annuity. But like what we see often on our end is people that didn't realize what they were getting into. Right. They didn't read the fine print. They didn't ask the questions. And it's not entirely on them, because somebody on the other end of that transaction stood to make a very good commission in order to make this come true. And so, you know, they only told them what they needed and wanted to hear. And I think that's the other big thing that really gets me, is like this whole idea of insurance is kind of, especially retirement insurance or annuities, is built on this concept of fear, right? Like I have a fear that I'm going to run out of money. And if I have somebody unscrupulous on the other end that continues to exacerbate that fear, then I'm willing to, you know, give up my control over money and purchase something that's not in my best interests, right? And we see it time and time again. And it's not to say that nobody should ever own an annuity, but the amount of people that I see with annuities that didn't really need it and didn't really want it for the reasons it was sold, just be out of fear, is, you know, it's scary in some regards, right? And so I think that's one of those things where if this is something that you want to do, and I think everybody should look into it as like, hey, does this make sense for me, right? Like, and there's some cases where it will and some cases where it won't. A lot of that comes down to like risk tolerance, longevity, where you're at, and what makes sense. But so for some people, it does make sense. I get, you know, I've had clients with a couple of these that made perfect sense. But that's, you know, what we find is that's usually not the case, or not to the degree that people come in to us that have these particular products.
Are you feeling overwhelmed when it comes to planning for your retirement? Do you want simple, relatable information you can use today to plan for tomorrow? Check out the Kitchen Table Finance Podcast, hosted by Dave and Nick, certified financial planners with Shotwell Rudder Bear Financial Planners. They make retirement planning easy and enjoyable. Discover practical advice to create a retirement strategy that fits your lifestyle and budget. Get ready for market updates, intriguing finance headlines, book reviews, special guests, and inspiring case studies. So grab your favorite cup of coffee and join them at the table as they talk about everything finance and retirement. Go to srbadvisors.com or search for Kitchen Table Finance wherever you listen to podcasts.
I think it may be maybe the best way to go about this is to talk about like what are appropriate uses for an annuity. And I'm going to start with kind of something that we tend to test for when we're doing financial planning with folks that are about to retire. So say we have a client who's got Social Security but no pension and a fairly sizable retirement portfolio. And they tend to be conservative and they're worried about longevity. So by taking a portion of that 401k and purchasing what's called an immediate annuity. So an immediate annuity skips that deferral stage, right? That accumulation stage where all the inefficient investments take place, and is just, you basically put the money in it and start taking payments from it fairly soon. And so, you know, there we're basically saying, okay, let's say their Social Security is $25,000 a year, and they know that just their living expenses are going to be $50,000. And we know that we can take a certain amount out of their 401k, purchase an immediate annuity that's going to provide them that other $25,000. So that they know that their fixed costs are covered. That's one scenario. If that also leaves them with enough liquidity in the rest of the portfolio, then to do the other things they want to do, because you can't go back to that annuity once you've annuitized it and say, hey, I need $10,000 for taking my grandkids to Disney World next year. You know, instead you've got to save up then from those payments, like you. Like you would if you were working or just on a fixed income. So those are some considerations. And again, there we're looking at immediate annuities and skipping that inefficient deferral stage. And we're also looking at how much liquidity that leaves for the client.
And I think that's the big part too, the liquidity question of like how much outside of the annuity do you have? And it's important because what you're doing is you're giving up access to that money that you annuitize, right? Like, unless you're going to, what's the commercial that they always like, need cash now or whatever? Like,
JG
Wentworth or whatever it is. Where you can like sell your annuity contract and they'll give you like a present value of what it's worth right now. You sell your future payments to them.
Yeah, that's just compounding past bad decisions with new bad decisions. But
the point is, you don't have access to it, right? And so you want to make sure that you have plenty of access to other things as your plan changes. And that's the problem of like, hey, you're 65, you want an immediate annuity. We're banking on the fact that you're going to live a long time and also that your plan isn't going to change very much between 65 and 95 or whatever it is, right? Like, and that's a major concern unless you have enough cash outside of that as your plan changes that you can, you know, have the agility to do the things that you need to do.
I'm going to throw out another potential use case for annuities, and that's a very conservative investor who needs to maybe make a little bit more than he or she would on CDs and bank savings, but just really is not comfortable with stock market volatility and is going to always have anxiety about their portfolio to the point where they're not likely to do well.
Right.
And in those cases, sometimes a fixed annuity pays a interest rate stated by the contract. You know, there'll be different terms. Some of them are fixed for a certain number of years. Some of them have a floor on them. Yep. But, you know, you're not going to double your money in one of those. Mm-hmm. And you cannot go into it with the expectation that you're going to make a lot of money in them. But hopefully you'll keep pace with inflation and not have the anxiety of the markets. You know, and there's a couple of fixed annuities are one solution. Fixed indexed annuities are another. That's where you participate in market returns without downside. Those tend to have long surrender periods and liquidity limits on them. So you need to make sure that you're liquid enough. I do not like those products. I do not necessarily recommend them, but I have talked to people where it was like, okay, yes, as long as you're going into it, eyes wide open, that you're not going to make 25% when the S&P 500 is up 25%.
Right.
But you're okay making 4 or 5% in good years and not losing anything in bad years. Okay. You know, it's not that they're bad. You just need to go in eyes wide open that's what you've got.
Yeah.
And understand those limits.
We both have had clients or we've run into people who, you know, just didn't have that, you know, didn't have that risk tolerance at all, right? They had no tolerance for like in that, you know, there's ways to do things where, you know, you can get around that. You can get a little bit more interest than banks or CDs. But like you said, like you have to be very, very careful of those contracts, how they're situated, making sure it's going to be a good fit for you. And, you know, that's a really important part of all this, why you need somebody who, and this is why both you and I have made that commitment to be fee-only fiduciary planners, where we're only putting our clients' best interests, because there's a lot of incentives for people out there to sell you something to get a big commission. They don't really care whether it's in your best interest. And so you have to be really, really careful of that stuff. So it's out there and you want someone who's going to be a fiduciary for you, or you could go back and say, you know, why did you recommend this to me? It wasn't in my best interest.
Right.
Like you want to know that that's happening on the front end for sure.
I think it boils down to the same concept when we talk about portfolio choices. You cannot separate risk from potential return. If something is promising you, or if you're hearing that something's promising you extra return with little or less risk, something is wrong there. And it's not that it's necessarily a scam or something, you know, but there's something there that's not fitting. You need to look at the costs, you need to look at liquidity, you need to make sure you understand what it is you're giving up to get those guarantees.
Yeah, there's no free lunches, right?
Right, right.
So, like, I mean, I guess the moral of the story is this, Dave, right? Like, there, yes, there is a place for them. Yes, we can find a use case for these products, but buyer beware, right? Make sure you understand exactly what you're getting into. You know, every one of these products comes with a contract. I would gather to say that 99.9% of people don't actually read them and understand them.
Yeah.
If, the advisors that sell them included. And so if this is something that you're going to do, make sure that you read and understand it, right? Like all these contracts have like a 15-20 day, like, hey, if you don't like this, send us this contract back. We can get out of it. No harm, no foul. Gives you time to read the contract, make sure it's exactly what you want and you understand it all. It's like, if you're going to do it, make sure you're doing those things, right? Make sure you're working with someone who's a fiduciary to you, and also make sure that you're reading and understanding the contract.
Maybe to wind things up too, there's the latest evolution in the insurance market are products that fiduciary and fee-only advisors can use that aren't commission-based. Some of them still have some of the liquidity limits on them, depending on what they're guaranteeing you and promising you. Some of them are basically a way to do tax-deferred investing or as a way to get out of old annuity contracts without tax implications. So there's an evolution in these tools, and you know, that's helpful. That's been a big change in the last 10 years in the industry.
For sure.
We could probably talk all day about different experiences with annuities, couldn't we?
Indeed we could, but I think we have set our piece, and hopefully it came across the way that we wanted to. And we can tell we're being somewhat, you know, trying not to say something that's going to get us in trouble or...
I think at the end of the day, you know, as humans, we have our biases. We've indeed come about them honestly. So,
yes, through years of experience. So, with that being said, if you, our listener, have any questions on annuities or any other topic, feel free to shoot us an email, info@srbadvisors.com. Dave, as always, it has been a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks, Nick.
Gather around and follow the Kitchen Table Finance podcast to learn about money and simple ways you can invest right now. You can find more practical advice at srbadvisors.com and contact the team for personal planning by emailing info@srbadvisors.com.